24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Phonik FM. Exodus Sound Alternative.
Welcome to the first edition of Tech Monthly on Phonik FM, supported by Exeter City Council. I'm Helen Canole. Tech Monthly is a forum for people interested in technology with our roots here in the city of Exeter. This will be a platform for the community of individuals and businesses working in the tech sector, locally and beyond, helping them join a global conversation about how technology shapes our world. We're live on the second Thursday of every month on Phonik FM, and the programme is also available to download after broadcast as a podcast. Check phonik.fm/tech for more details. You can contact the programme by email, tech@phonik.fm, or you can tweet us at Phonik Tech. Coming up on this month's programme, as we're right in the thick of technology conference season, we look at four conferences that have taken place in the southwest of England over the last month or so. Tech Exeter at the University of Exeter, the Graphical Web at the Met Office here in Exeter, Venture Fest Southwest at Sandy Park in Exeter, and Secure Southwest at Plymouth University. And so here we are on the first episode of Tech Monthly, and I'm Helen Canole. And I work in IT here in Exeter. I'm a web developer. And I also have a co-host here, Rob Glover.
Hello.
And you want to tell us a little bit about yourself as well?
Yep, my name's Rob, and I've been a bit of everything over the years. A web developer, graphic designer, digital marketer. And I currently am involved in organising grassroots communities in Exeter around tech and digital.
Cool, excellent. All exciting stuff then. So, speaking of such things, that brings us nicely on to Tech Exeter. The inaugural Tech Exeter conference took place on the 8th of October, and that was co-organised by our very own Rob and Chris Sum as well. So, Rob, do you want to tell us a little bit more about Tech Exeter?
Yeah, Tech Exeter was formerly known as Exeter Web and was a group of web developers that have been gathering on a bi-monthly basis to share support and connect one another across the city. We rebranded as Tech Exeter and we had three goals: to set up a conference, to continue the meetup, and to set up a co-working space. So the conference was our first attempt. We managed to talk the business school in Exeter University into hosting us, and we had the aim of bringing together local speakers and bringing speakers from outside of the area to talk all things tech.
Paul Bennett, I'm a systems engineer running my own consultancy, STEM ambassador and that. I go into schools and talk about science, technology, engineering and mathematics to young kids, trying to persuade more to come into the engineering and technology professions. So that, yeah, we try and build our own base in this country a little bit more. We've been a bit lacking in that of late, so I think it's been really important to do that. You know, the fact it's happening here in Exeter is sort of, means it's almost on my doorstep, and it's something I can take back to the kids as well at school.
Well, I'm new to Exeter, so it's really good to find out what other, you know, businesses are here and what technologies people are using, and get to know some people and share ideas. So I think it's really important to try and stay up to date with the latest tech, and you only really do that by finding out what other people are using. So this afternoon I'm looking forward to the web development talks, you know, like the one on Vue or progressive web apps.
Hi, I'm Tracy. I've come here today on behalf of a charity that I work for. We're kind of entering the digital age much more fully, and coming here is just giving me an idea, an overview of some of the things that we have to learn, actually. But also it's talking to two experts who have been brilliant. They're helping me kind of visualise some of this stuff. They're helping me to talk through some of the problems. They're helping me with ideas to do with strategy and stuff. Plus I'm getting some other kind of very useful tech information that is something I'm going to take back to the organisation and work through. So it's been brilliant.
So I'm Martin. I'm from Open Data Institute Devon. And I'm mainly here to network with different other organisations locally. We do a lot of work around open data, and I'm trying to persuade people to open their data if they work, and also been talking and liaising with people like Exeter City Futures and other organisations locally to see what can be achieved in terms of like lifting the bar for all the tech community in Exeter. So a lot of public sector organisations have a responsibility to provide some of the data that they collect publicly, and that's referred to as open data if it's released in a particular format in a way that anyone can use and redistribute and turn into applications and things like that. So a lot of the time a public sector organisation like a council or the NHS will release a data set, and some bright person will turn that into an app, and that app will help other people. So there's quite a few examples of that nationally.
Oh, hi, yeah, my name's Mike from Cardyard, the gift card exchange. I'm pleased to be here at this conference. It's fantastic that Exeter can put on a technical conference like this. And there's some brilliant speakers. Learned an awful lot about front-end, back-end, and a bit in between.
Yeah, so I'm Louis from Nexus. It's been a really good event today. I think every single talk that I've been to, I've kind of taken something away that I think actually I can use this within the business, within my role, within the things that we're doing day to day. We had a really good talk earlier on kind of the things we can do with SQL, particularly in terms of testing and unit testing in particular with SQL. Not something I've ever seen or heard of before, but actually the amount of time that's going to save us long term could be substantial and kind of bring better value to the customer at the end of the day, which is all good stuff. Just great to kind of see, you know, people from the local community all come out together. We're kind of a local company that kind of like to work with local business, so to kind of get the chance to network and have it on your doorstep is fantastic.
Well, I'm John Keane. I'm a JavaScript contractor working in and around Exeter, and I gave a talk today on IPFS, so that's the Interplanetary File System, which is an attempt to upgrade the web to improve certain problems with it, particularly that the web has central points that allow groups and organizations to control it, particularly your local government. So the idea is to improve the web so that government can't get in the way, which is to say that you can't censor it. So there are lots of countries around the world where your local citizens aren't able to get access to the full internet. They get only a limited view. And IPFS is an attempt to get around that, to stop people limiting what you can see, or stop people limiting what you can publish, what ideas you can discuss and talk about. Instead of having you go to a particular computer or server to download your website, what you do is you'll put all of the websites onto a distributed swarm, something like the peer-to-peer networks like BitTorrent, and access your web pages over that, so that whenever I want to see a web page, all I need to do is join one point in the swarm. Because there's many, many, many points to the swarm, it's very, very difficult then to limit whether you can get access to it. So if you could just make one link, you've got the whole IPFS internet available to you. It's a great conference, actually. It's still quite small, which creates a cosy atmosphere, and you can say hello to most people and see lots of people that you know. There's lots of great things going on. I really enjoyed some of the talks from the Met Office. There's lots of programming that goes on in Exeter, but we have a jewel in the Met Office, and that they're just doing things that no one else is doing. So when they talk about big data or their problems, they're on a different scale from someone who's building websites for a living like myself. You know, they're the only people who could say, do you have your own supercomputer? There was a great talk today about genetic algorithms, and that showed just how much clever data science and maths is going on in and around Exeter.
I'm Rachel. I work in the informatics lab as a scientist and a coder.
And I'm Jacob. I work in the informatics lab with a technology background.
We started about a year and a half ago. It was meant to be a mixture of scientists, coders, technologists and designers. And the idea was that we'd be able to solve problems that other teams with more of a single focus wouldn't be able to look at, that we could work quite quickly and develop prototypes, and that we could do everything just within our team.
Yeah, so the Informatics Lab is a team which is a mix of people from a technology background, science background, and an art and design background as well. We all sit around one big table rather than being separated by different desks. We all work on laptops, and we can kind of collaborate together on solving different problems. Everybody takes ownership of a problem, and it means that we're invested in solving it and finding an answer and in adding our different expertise areas to the project. Sure, so the talk I've given at TechExter is about processing lots and lots of data that we have at the Met Office, but specifically measuring how well we can process that data. You know, the more data we process, the harder it is to measure that.
And I was talking about genetic algorithms, which are a machine learning technique for figuring out how to solve problems you don't know how to solve based on natural selection.
I think one thing I find most useful is, you know, the Met Office is a large organisation and it's very easy to speak to lots of people within the Met Office. Coming to something like Tech Extra allows you to speak to people from other organisations that are just as large or much, much smaller independent people. It gives you a much better feeling for, you know, what the tech area is like in Exeter specifically, but also just the different things that people are looking at and what's interesting. It helps inform us of where we should be aiming as well.
Well, that sounds like a really interesting and enjoyable day. So how did you choose the speakers, Rob?
Well, we had a call out amongst the community asking for speakers, and then that went out to the kind of wider Southwest community as well and further afield. And within the kind of tech industry, there's quite often a desire for people to speak about their particular technology. And so we were inundated with talks, actually, and it was quite hard to choose which ones to go for, and quite hard to let people know that they hadn't been selected, which was a learning process that I'd not been through before.
I bet, yeah, that sounds good. And so obviously probably a lot of hard work went into organising the conference. And did you have any interesting behind the scenes anecdotes or anything like that?
Well, we like to think that everything went really smoothly, and I'm sure, I hope from the delegates' point of view, everything went smoothly. Certainly in the background, we were running around like headless chickens, trying to make sure that everything was doing what it should be doing. But probably the moment that stuck in my mind was not being able to get into the building half an hour before the conference started. and seriously thinking that we might be doing it on the lawns outside. But we managed to remedy that, and we had a great team of helpers, so we quickly got in and got it sorted, and I don't think anybody knew that.
Well, that's cool.
But it was one of the joys of organisation.
Yes, you didn't have to have a pop-up conference in the end. So do you think that it met the objectives that you set out to meet?
Well, our key objective was to have this kind of annual celebration of our community, and we, although our numbers were not particularly large, being a sort of first conference, and we organised it over the summer. It was in September, at the beginning of October rather. We wanted to have a quality event with great feedback, and you know, listening to those comments from people, everybody enjoyed it. So that was our key thing, was to kind of set up next year where we hope to grow a bigger event and invite national speakers down, as well as keeping our local contingent speaking. And we already have the right kind of noises from people like IBM and SAP that have a relationship with the business school, who are interested in supporting. So we're looking forward greatly to kind of organising next year's event.
Well, that's great. Well, I wasn't able to make it this year, I was away, but I'll definitely try and make it to next year. It does sound like it was a really good success, so that's really cool. So for more information about Tech Exeter, you can go to techexeter.uk, or you can follow at Tech Exeter on Twitter. So next up is the Graphical Web Conference, and we heard from a couple of staff from the Met Office's Informatics Lab in the Tech Exeter piece a few minutes ago. And the Met Office is the UK's National Weather Service, as I'm sure we know, and has been based on the edge of Exeter since 2003. And the Graphical Web was a four-day conference hosted by the Met Office's Informatics Lab earlier this month, and I was lucky enough to be able to go to it. It's an annual global conference that showcases the many open source technologies available for presenting visual information on the web, and it's aimed at a variety of professionals throughout the technology, data visualisation and graphics industries. And some of us went along and had a chat with some of the organisers, speakers and delegates.
Yeah, so I'm Neil Robinson. I'm part of the group that's organized the conference here, the Graphical Web. So I work at the Met Office. I was a scientist originally. I still do science, but now I mix it with technology and try and test sort of cutting-edge prototypes. And that's really what this conference is about. We've taken people from lots of different backgrounds and tried to get them together to really think about what can be done next with graphical web technology.
I'm Alberto. I head the Informatics Lab, which is the group within the Met Office that has been hosting the whole of the conference. And we really put a lot of effort into bringing people that could help us to do the whole journey. Just how do you go from data into information, how you can then tell stories with this information, and then how you can go beyond the web. How can you start using things like virtual reality, tools that take you into the interfaces like natural language processing and all of the new technologies that are opening. And this has been extremely interesting. And yeah, we're really glad to see that people have enjoyed it.
So my name is Barend Kubben, and I'm actually from the Netherlands, from the University of Twente, which is a small technical university. And I'm here, I'm a cartographer, I'm a map maker, so it's all about data visualization on the web. So that's what I'm interested in, what I teach actually. I was trained as a cartographer way back in the 80s. I actually still learned how to draw by hand with using pens and things like that. And nowadays I teach the same thing actually, which is trying to visualize the data in what we call the story of the data. So there's some kind of a story. So I come from a cartography as a geographical background. So there is something about the world that you want to tell your users. It's in the data, this story, but most people can't read the data and then find the story. So you make a visualization out of it. In most cases, a map that tries to tell that story. And then the tools have been changing, of course, ridiculously the last few years, because you used to be able to just draw a little bit and then maybe copy it or print it. And nowadays you program your visualization, you have millions of other tools that you can use, and there's much more things like all this animation or 3D and so on that you can do. But the main thing is still the same. You want to find the story in the data, and you want to find out how to best tell that to your users. Yeah, I think one of the most eye-opening or the most, surprising ones was a guy who talked about mini visualization. So like you have text, and in the middle of the text there's a very small graph or a very small emoticon is the example he used that everybody uses. So there's an emoticon which basically visualizes your emotions. And he said, oh, you could do the same within a textual story with data. So there's a very small graph. He had some examples with a very small line graph or a bar graph that you could use just by using text editors. And that was really a nifty way of doing that that I didn't think of before. So that was my most surprising moment in that sense, yeah.
My name's Stephen Bernard, and I'm the interactive design editor at the Financial Times. It's been really interesting. The main things we've sort of taken from it are how technology is being used in other areas. I mean, I basically work at the Financial Times, so we've got a sort of very fairly narrow field of what we cover being in the media industry. So seeing similar technologies that we use applied in completely different fields like meteorology and mathematics, it's really interesting to be able to see different ways of showing data. I mean, the meteorological presentations that we saw were just beautiful to look at. I mean, obviously they've got so much data behind them, we'd never be able to sort of crunch that much data on our simple desktop computers at the FT, but just giving us an idea of ways of visualising things is sort of some of the major things that I've sort of pulled back from it.
My name is Claire Bryden. I'm an artist and resident of the Collider Studio in Exeter, and have had many, many hats in the past in the areas of energy, environment, economics. I write and have an art practice in these areas now. In my art, I often use environmental data and science and analysis. And I've come to the conference to get more tools that I can use in visualising information. So for me, it's not so much the data visualisation as a way of downloading information into the viewer, but as a way of making them think, helping them make meaning out of something, and thereby hoping to get a message across.
So my name's Alex Shaw, and the contraption that I brought here today is from Touchable Universe. It's a haptic sculpting and educational tool that allows you to really feel in three dimensions what it is you're looking at on the screen.
It is incredible. I just had a go on it, and it's amazing to like feel different things with different levels of sort of softness and hardness and all that kind of stuff. So it's really interesting. Have you put it to any interesting uses yet?
We make a sculpting package for people who don't want to use computer-aided design and need something that's a bit more intuitive that lets them use their fingers. We're also doing some educational packages for use in schools for engaging students in a multi-sensory way to allow them to understand complex things like what an atom's like, what the forces are like between electrons that you can't just imagine. You have to really feel.
There was interesting stuff there. And sort of the main point that seemed to come out of that was sort of the rise of the infographic and how it was quite appropriate for it to be hosted by the Met Office, where weather maps are obviously sort of some of the most recognisable infographics. I don't know what you felt about that.
Well, I think what is great for Exeter is that the Met Office is a global brand and can actually attract kind of global attention and bring people from all over Europe to talk about stuff that they do, but also to collaborate with other organisations. I know that they hold a NASA Space Apps hackathon that a lot of developers in Exeter go to, which is a global partnership that Met Office have with NASA. So it's great that we get this kind of global focus and attention, something that hopefully the community will be able to be more and more part of.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, and I was really struck by when I went along by the amount of people from all over the world, really. And just so many different things being talked about. And I quite enjoyed, because before my IT career, I came from a graphic design background as well. So I enjoyed all the really pretty graphics and things. So I enjoyed the conference from sort of a few different angles. And some of the highlights for me on the Friday were Jaume Sanchez and his all his cool web VR toys. And they basically, because they're browser-based VR, so you can access it with any device, and he showed us some cool stuff. He had like a thing called a polygon shredder and 3D clouds and lots of fun toys to play with, and they're all on his website at clicktorelease.com. And Eden Kwan as well, and his website is particle-love.com. And again, sort of like pretty things to play around with, and you know, move your mouse around and change the diameter of things and make different patterns, and all things I'm sure have lots of interesting uses, but I just enjoy playing with them. So more information on the graphical web, which returns to the Met Office again in 2017. I'd definitely like to go again. Go to graphicalweb.org, or you can find them on Twitter at thegraphicalweb. You are listening to Tech Monthly on Phonic FM, supported by Exeter City Council. I'm Helen Connell with Rob J. Glover. So coming up, we'll have some tech news, and we'll find out what happened at the VentureFest Southwest and hear from the overall winner of the VentureFest PitchFest programme. First, here is a roundup of the tech news with Ian Woodbridge.
The head of MI5 has said that the UK faces a growing threat from foreign countries. In an interview with The Guardian, Andrew Parker said that Russia was using its whole range of state organs and powers to push its foreign policy abroad in increasingly aggressive ways, involving propaganda, espionage, subversion, cyber attacks. Russia, he said, is at work in Europe and the UK today. In related news, Philip Hammond has revealed that plans to spend $1.9 billion of new money boosting UK cyber defences. The Chancellor described how Britain must keep up with the scale and pace of threats we face, and insisted that the new funding will allow us to take even greater steps to defend ourselves in cyberspace and strike back when we are attacked. So if you're looking for a job, Andrew Parker said that the budget increases would see MI5 expand from 4,000 to 5,000 officers over the next 5 years. In a slightly strange twist of reality impinging on TV, Elon Musk has revealed that Tesla's latest product in the renewable energy sector. The new camouflaged solar roof tiles, which are available in four different styles, are designed to be a more attractive way of adding solar power to houses, and were unveiled on the set of the 2012 TV series Desperate Housewives. Combined with an upgraded power wall, the tiles represent a further push into the renewables market for the Californian-based company. How efficient they are compared with traditional solar panels is hard to find out, but at least they mean the panels will be mounted on roofs rather than the slightly strange sight we now have in the West Country of farmers' fields covered in panels when further up the road there's a massive factory roof sitting bare. Finally, what is reality? Gameplay could be used to train artificial intelligence. Google's DeepMinds team have announced that they are collaborating with games manufacturer Blizzard to allow AI developers to use the game StarCraft to train their systems. According to the team, the StarCraft series of games, the first of which was released 20 years ago, is an interesting testing environment for current AI research because it provides a useful bridge to the messiness of the real world. Of course, Elon Musk believes that the chances are we are actually living in a computer simulation, and with the current march towards virtual reality and augmented reality, that's probably a good as guess as anybody's. If that's the case, though, can someone out there please turn up my intelligent index a few notches? I'm Ian, and that was your news.
Cheers, Ian, for that news there. And so that brings us on to VentureFest Southwest, and that took place at Sandy Park on the 18th of October. And joining me in the studio now are Joe Pierce and Joel Stobart. Joe, do you want to start off by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Helen. So I work at the Innovation Centre and the Science Park Centre, providing business support to our range of clients up there. And through that, got involved in the steering group for the VentureFest Southwest event that happened back in October. And it was a fantastic event, really great to be part of it.
Cool. And Joel, tell us a little bit about yourself as well.
Okay. I'm a local entrepreneur, I guess. Built up Custodian Solutions, which is a cloud platform for fighting counterfeiting. We're now got three developers and we're down on the quay, so a lovely place to be and a lovely place to build up a business.
Excellent. Yeah, it does sound really nice, actually. So, Joe, so VentureFest Southwest, do you want to tell us sort of what it is and where it was, who organised it, and what kind of people that went along?
Absolutely. So VentureFest is a national organisation that's supported by Innovate UK, and it happens in regions across the country. And it was the first time it was down in the southwest of England, past Bristol, and it's a fantastic opportunity to bring together tech-led businesses, members of the academic community, and the stakeholders involved in this sort of innovation ecosystem, all under one roof. And we had a fantastic event at Sandy Park, a whole host of presentations and streams going on concurrently. And it attracted, I think, over 600 people came through the event in the day, which was just brilliant to really show the intensity of tech-led businesses in the Southwest.
Wow, yeah, that does sound great. So PitchFest itself, so what is that? Who is it for? And what sort of people involved? And how did you choose the participants for that?
So PitchFest was one of the streams going on at VentureFest, and it was a competition designed to identify the best innovative entrepreneur-led organisations from across the region who are currently looking for funding. So it was an open application back in August, and we had some 30 applicants from sort of Rodney Stoke up near Bath and all the way down to Penzance. And through a process of workshops and sort of pitches being given to a number of sort of expert judges, we whittled down that 30 applicants to a core group of 12 who came along as the finalists for PitchFest and presented in the big room on the big stage in front of the audience there on the 18th, and it was a great event.
Wow, yeah, that must have been really exciting. So, Joel, can you introduce Custodian Solutions? Sort of what do you do, how do you do it?
We connect corporate investigators who are trying to find counterfeit goods in the market. We use a technology platform that they record all of the evidence that they capture, and then we provide tools to brand protection professionals and to IP lawyers so that they can take the appropriate action to try and prevent real harm falling to consumers. So we work with pharmaceutical manufacturers preventing death and serious harm, and we're starting to work with automotive and food and FMCG companies.
Yeah, it sounds like a really sort of important role, obviously, that can play. So in your experience of PitFest, what actually led you to apply for it?
I need as much practice as I can get. I get really nervous when I pitch. So it was a straight, I need the practice. So there was an opportunity to pitch. There's an opportunity to practice. So I'll always jump at those opportunities.
So it must have been amazing to sort of come in just for the practice and...
Yeah, no, and I
do as well as
I kind of didn't know what it would be when I walked out there, and I kind of think that there were lots of people who could have won. To be honest, I think there were some brilliant businesses there, from Wellies through to tech companies. There were some really innovative, interesting ideas, and I would have struggled to pick a winner myself.
Oh wow, so that's great, really, isn't it? So so what do you think that you've learnt through the process?
It's mostly confidence for me. I really struggle with the speaking in front of people. So standing in front of that stage and not panicking as much as the last time I did it gives me a little confidence boost. So I think that was the biggest thing I learned, was just to be a little bit more confident.
That's great. Yeah, I think that really is a skill that you can learn, isn't it? I don't know what you think about that, Rob, as well, sort of standing up.
Because you're good at that.
It is, and
also, you know, this is leading towards... investors investing in a business, and you know the stakes are quite high when you only have 5 minutes, and you know you want £250,000 or something. So you know you put a lot of pressure on yourself, and actually I think the only way around that is to get used to it by practicing. And the great thing that the Innovation Centre and have been doing with their demo night events and the support that they do is they allow people, anybody, to pitch ideas, and particularly demo nights, which goes on at Exeter Castle. You don't actually have to have an idea that you've started. It could be just something you want to get out and get some feedback on. And I think it's a brilliant opportunity. We all ought to get better at pitching our ideas if we're in business.
Definitely. And I think it is something that can be learned. It's not a sort of, it's not a magic thing that some people can do and others can't, I don't think. Joel, what do you think the next steps are for Custodian Solutions?
Well, we're lucky enough to be going to a Set Squared event at the end of the month, where we're pitching for a significant amount of money in front of hundreds of investors. I'm hoping I'm not going to panic too much, but I'm practicing for that one now. And we're also getting new clients and scaling our business up. So those things are happening in parallel, and hopefully will continue to for the foreseeable future.
Oh, so sounds great. Exciting times then.
Yeah,
cool. Okay, so Joe, what's next for VentureFest, and will it return to Exeter again?
We really hope so. We're waiting for final confirmation, but there was a great deal of interest from all the attendees and some large local firms to get involved as sponsors next year. Fingers crossed and watch this space. We should see VentureFest back again.
Excellent. And so where can we find out more about both VentureFest and Custodian?
So if you go to ventrefest-southwest.co.uk, you'll see the latest updates there.
And custodiansolutions.com.
Okay. So Secure Southwest took place on the 5th of October at Plymouth University, and I went along, and Rob went along for part of the day as well, I think. And so I thought there were some very interesting talks during that day. So the first, they kicked off with somebody from Ian Bryant from the Trustworthy Software Foundation, and they were talking about trustworthy software and the five facets being safety, reliability, availability, resilience, and security. And how it was important to have those facets to anything that you procured. And it was, there's something, it sort of seemed like common sense, but something that often is quite overlooked, I think, when people do procure software. Do you agree with that, Rob?
Yeah, I think there was quite a lot of, at that particular event, there was quite a lot of bearing of their soul of the university about some of the mistakes that they've made and some of the issues that they have had to overcome. And what I found particularly interesting was the talks around the new trend of ransomware,
yes.
And how people are having their identity stolen, and then people get into their hard disk and encrypt it. and then basically ask for Bitcoin payments to encrypt.
Yes.
What also struck me was how well organized the criminal fraternity were.
Yes.
At supporting one another to be able to organize this kind of infrastructure, and how unorganized the rest of us were.
Yeah.
So it was somewhat quite frightening, actually, which it
really was. I found it quite frightening because I think I hadn't really, because as a web developer, you tend to focus on slightly different aspects of security a lot of the time. And to hear in depth about the possibilities of what ransomware could do, especially coming up with the Internet of Things and the fact that a lot of internet-enabled objects and things are not, they haven't really thought about security. So the idea that, you know, hackers could take over your central heating system or something like that, it starts to get a little bit scary.
Yeah, so, yeah, particularly as people are rushing to kind of replace their front door locks with Internet of Things, you know,
exactly.
and actually the security and the has not really been worked out. But I think it's something that we in a future show will be talking about specifically around sort of security and you know, what do you do if you're hacked, and
yeah,
what are the threats and what are some of the simple, because actually the probably the biggest problem is that people don't know what to do, and also people don't know how to be safe,
yeah,
or how to set up a security,
yeah,
process or,
yeah,
backups and all those things. So I think it's something that we're going to without jumping out in the future,
yeah,
show that we're going to talk about.
It's certainly a topic that you could spend a whole program talking about, at least. And from the web developer sort of technical staff point of view, you know, they talked about they'd outsourced things, you know, various people had outsourced things to people who didn't necessarily have the skills or, you know, the infrastructure to do things properly. So that's obviously something for sort of more, you know, the management to think about. And the panel discussion was talking about not being able to get staff who are experts in security. But I think they sort of, you know, haven't necessarily tapped into the security knowledge that, you know, lots of people do have. So I was just seeing it from my point of view there. I think it was definitely a really interesting information-packed day. I think I came away feeling quite exhausted and a little bit scared.
And also the fact that the Southwest is a strong area for security and cybersecurity,
yeah,
with a number of organisations involved and a number of universities, not just Plymouth but Exeter University and the science parks, and the Southwest Cyber Security Cluster,
yeah,
the connection with the Met Office, which is sort of not actually now part of the Ministry of Defence, but is closely linked with the MOD in Bristol and GCHQ in Cheltenham. So there is actually quite a strong cluster of security-focused expertise in the Southwest.
Yeah, so the knowledge is there, isn't it? I think it's just a question of organising it. Okay, so that brings us on to the listings for what's coming up over the next month or so. Rob?
Yes, so I have put together a few things happening in and around Exeter and the wider Southwest area that might be of interest to people. So first up, next weekend, so the 18th to the 20th of November, is Startup Weekend, which is part of Global Entrepreneurs Week. It's at the Innovation Centre, University of Exeter, and it's something that our guest here, Joe, knows something about, being the fact that you're organising it.
Absolutely. So it's my team out of the Innovation Centre who are putting on, this is the fourth Startup Weekend we've run out of the Innovation Centre, and I think this is going to be the biggest yet. We've already got close to 60 people signed up, and there tends to be a bit of a rush in the last week. So, you know, it's open to all to come along. If you've got an idea, if you haven't, if you want to get involved in a startup or just try and experience, you know, what it takes to go from an idea to an MVP, a minimum viable product, in 54 hours. It's a good fun weekend. It leaves you exhausted, but it's good.
I can also say that the catering is superb.
Oh, you've got to keep people fed. That's a key part of it.
I often am motivated by how good the food is at an event, and the Startup Weekend, in my opinion, the ticket price is worth the food alone.
You get a hoodie too. I mean, it's all in there.
Yeah, so I think they've done, you know, it is a superb event, and one that if you even remotely curious about entrepreneurship, starting a business, being part of a team, not necessarily totally tech focused, but there is obviously a tech and digital slant to it in terms of the support that you can get there. So thank you for that, Joe. So 22nd of November, there's a retro gaming evening that is being brought to you by Stevens and Scown Solicitors. It's at Exeter City Football Club from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. So if you're into your retro game stuff and geeky game stuff, then nice. That's for you. The 24th of November, Exist, which is Exeter Initiative for Science and Technology, which is a sort of subgroup of the Exeter Chamber. They hold a quarterly meet at Sandy Park, and they are discussing the digital skills gap, which is an important kind of subject. That starts in the morning at 8:30 through to, I think, 10:30. And then on the same day, it's a big day for digital in Exeter on the 24th. That's 2 weeks from today. Digital Exeter is in the evening at Drury's Inn from 7:30 p.m. And I'm obviously part of the organisation team of that. So we've got three great talks around digital and tech. Well worth coming. DigitalExeter.uk for tickets there. And then on the 1st of December, our partners in Digital Plymouth have got their meetup in the Loft Plymouth from 6:30 p.m. And then our friends down in Cornwall, Kono DAT, which is Design, Arts and Technology, have their event at Crowdfunders HQ in Newquay from 6 p.m.
Okay, so that does bring us to the end of our very first show. And thanks very much to the guests, to Rob and to Joe and Joel, and to Ian for reading the news. And we'll be back live on Phonic FM at 4 p.m. on Thursday, the 8th of December. So in the meantime, you can stream the programme all over again online or download the podcast. And again, go to phonic.fm/tech for all the details. And Tech Monthly is supported by Exeter City Council, and it's an ear, nose and throat production for Phonic FM.